Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Fenway Rundown, the premier podcast for all things Boston Red Sox.
I know people harp on the last place thing, but essentially what's important is the record.
If the Red Sox want people to start thinking the ownership cares, then maybe they should talk.
This is the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live. Here are your hosts, Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam.
Four Fenway Rundowns in a week. How lucky are you, the listening audience? It's a Friday episode and a special one. I'm Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdam here as well. And we are going to welcome a guy who is in the news today as winter weekend begins in Springfield, Jonathan Papelbon, former Red Sox closer, wacky personality, Nesson analyst, and the host of the Cinco Ocho Show, the talk show that's going to be held tonight in Springfield in place of the town hall. So appreciate Papelbon's time. We told the world that Papelbon was coming on this podcast via the Insider Text program. And so, as always, Sean, tell the good people how they can find it.
Yep. To keep up to date on what we're doing on the podcast, to have input into the podcast, to learn what's going on with the Red Sox from us at Mass Live, text the word join to 617-751-6257. Then click on the link. It's a 14-day free trial period. After that, $4.99 a month. Great way to stay current on all Red Sox news and programming. And we're happy to have Jonathan Papelbon as our guest this afternoon. Pap is about to get ready to fly up to Boston and take part in the winter weekend that is being held in Springfield this weekend. And he is a important part of that. And Pap, thanks for taking some time today to talk to us. Wondering if you could tell us how this came together, that is your role in winter weekend, and how you envision using that role in front of the multitudes in Springfield this weekend.
Okay, so this all came together literally like at the last minute. they said, hey, do you want to be involved? And I said, you know what? I actually do. I've never been to winter weekend. Like, literally never have been. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. You know, I'm working with Nesson now. And, you know, hell, I got a damn Twitter account now. And it's like, you know, all this shit is like different for me now. But I'm all in. And my main thing was in coming up here or coming up to Springfield, I said to myself, first and foremost, I want to get down to the real like core of, you know, hard questions and like in Boston, like I don't need no sugarcoating. Like, yeah, you know me, Sean, I never sugarcoated shit. You know, either you liked it or you didn't. And I mean, there was times where, you know, you either like what I said or I didn't and whatever. But I want to get that out of these guys now. And also, I want to have fun, man. I want to have fun with this show and make it almost like a variety type show where we kind of, you know, I might be having a few drinks on set. And, you know, I have a, you know, late night lounge chair, you know, desk. And, you know, we're going to have fun with it. And so I don't know if you know John Carter, but I've been kind of brainstorming with him. And, you know, I said, you know, I want to know what the fans want to know because I want to ask those questions and let's like Let's see where we're at going into spring training. Are we going to, you know, do anything during spring training? Let's get these hard answers and questions answered, and let's go have fun afterwards. That's kind of how I envision it.
Sounds good.
You want to be a beat writer, right? That's what you're saying.
Oh hell no, man! Beat writers don't get paid enough.
That's for right. sure. We'll drink to that. Pap, is there a late night talk show host that you are going to try to emulate or take inspiration from? Is there somebody like Letterman or Colbert or Kimmel? Who's going to be your role model for this thing?
Well, obviously for me, I'm a Letterman guy. I was on Letterman. I watched Letterman growing up in high school. And to me, he is probably out of all the guys, Sean, I don't know if you know this, but he's probably the most or the biggest baseball enthusiast of all of them.
Yep. Yeah, he is a big fan.
Yeah, and so he knows his baseball. And like, and that's what really struck me as pretty cool when I was, on with him. So we're gonna kind of take that approach. And, I think at the end of the day, for me, it's about, going there and really like, let's be honest. Let's talk honestly, have fun, and, kick off the year.
Is Cinco Ocho on board with this? Because it's been a while since you have brought him out of mothballs. I'm wondering what's he doing to prepare?
Yeah, no, I think he's going to get up really early and probably start drinking on the red eye there. If I had to guess, that's what he's probably going to do, maybe get him a little nap when he lands and then, get right back at it. The best part about this and going in and do this is that all the guys that I'm doing this with, whether it's Sam, whether it's Craig, whether it's Cora, any of these guys, they know that I've played with them, I've dealt with them, I've done contracts with them. We've all done these things together, so they know what it's going to be like, and they know that, especially as now, like, I almost, Sean, take this more of a serious approach now that, the Red Sox are inducting me into the Hall of Fame. I almost kind of, look at it now as like, the guys before me, what they did to build this era and that I played in. And so one of my things is going to be a lot about culture, the Red Sox culture and the way of the Red Sox. Like, what is the way of the Red Sox? Like, does the fan want to know what is the way of the Red Sox now? What are we looking at? And let's, talk about that. And let's do some different type of culture analyzations. Because to me, Sean, culture eats analytics for breakfast. You can give me all the analytics you want, but that culture, and you damn well know it, Sean, that 04 team, the 07 team was good, but we may not have been the best. Like, these teams, you don't just have straight raw talent in Major League Baseball. You may be able to have a big three talent in basketball or a great quarterback in football, but you can't do it in baseball. So you have to have that culture. So that's another – and to me, when I came up as a minor leaguer with the Red Sox, like – that culture of, hey, this is the way we do it here was very well known. You know that. Like, that was established by Curt Schilling and Pedro and, some of those guys on the pitcher's end of it. And I want to know, like, how much does that weigh into how they're going to build a team, how these types of things? Or are we going to really just – stick with this analytics game and what is that analytics game? If you are, what is it? So, I really want to learn too. I want to learn to me, I don't think they're going to bullshit me. And that's what I like about it.
Obviously, this is an event that's replacing the town hall from a year ago. That was a very ugly scene in Springfield.
So what was that? Like, like I said, I didn't do it. So something happened. I heard some rumblings about that.
Yeah, the fans loudly booed Haim and Sam, John Henry, and Cora, who were up on the stage and called out to him and were very, very unhappy. And I think probably no coincidence they did away with fan questions. Are fan questions going to be part of this at all, or just you kind of running the show?
No, 100%. I'm going to definitely ask the questions the fans want. Like, I might even do a poll. I might even have three or four questions that I know the fans want to ask. And guess what? You might have to pick it to a hat. You got to answer the question. I don't know. You know. I mean, so I'm mulling these things around. We are still in production there, Chris. You know, mm-hmm. the show. But you're damn right. We're gonna. You know. I promise you, this isn't gonna be no. So what'd you eat for breakfast this morning, show? You know, this is gonna be. But we're gonna have some damn fun with it too. And I might get out on a few guys, you know. It all depends.
It really depends on what the plane has and the liquor cabinet, right?
Yeah, you know, it really is all gonna depend on, you know, Cinco Ocho and you know, where he's at that point. So the best part about it is I have a lot of ability. I'll tell you this much. When I do something, I want to have the ability to do it my way or go rogue, so to speak. So, yeah, I do have that ability to, you know, just let's do it this way and flip it, you know. But it's going to be fun. It really is going to be fun.
I think this is happening in the backdrop, and you're on Twitter now. Probably none of us really want to be there, but I think we have to be just to see what the
could you kind imagine of the, if I had Twitter when I played? I should have had Twitter when I played, man.
Yeah,
probably a blessing, huh, Sean?
Yeah, I would think so, Pap.
But like, you see how pissed off fans are about the last place finishes. You see, fans are pissed off about not making any big additions this offseason, Giolito aside. Like, can you remember, you know, you've been around this organization for a long time now and paid attention to it. Can you remember this type of tenor from the fans of being this upset and this fed up and that type of stuff?
No, I can't. Now.
And do you think it's deserved too?
What do I think? What is deserved?
Just that level
the
of
anger and the frustration that the fans
100,000% is deserved. There's no question about it. I'm pissed off. Like, I want to work for a damn winner every night. I want to go call a game. Like, you know, like there, I might be even actually doing a few games with Nesson this year. I don't know. I haven't figured that out, whether or not I want to go call some games with, you know, OB or whoever else is going to do it. But I don't want to be associated with last place every year. Like, hell no. Like, I want to be able to, like, be a part of this solution and this culture change. Hopefully Craig can come in and do it. And Sam has the expectations with John Henry to, you know, hey, we got to get back to winning form. And you know, I want to be a part of that. So I hope that, you know, the fans – understand that, like, yeah, there's going to be a process. I don't know what it is, but it better be quick, in my opinion, or else that's when you start derailing fans. And when you start to derail fans, then they start saying, okay, I'm not going to start paying for these high beer prices here. We're in the lead. I know we're the highest ones in the league. And then you start getting that revolt, right? And so that's what we don't need. We absolutely don't need that. But like, I probably will ask Breslow, like, if you don't go out and get a big guy, like, are you that confident in the next guy below him that come up? Like, and I'm okay with it. Like, do you have a Dustin Pedroia coming up that you're that confident in that you can, like, or, you know, a Lester or whoever, are you that like, because if so, let me know, you know? And, you know, so those are some of the things that I want to know too. But we've got a, in my opinion, Sean and Chris, this is not a, it's not a twiddle around and oh, in 3 or 4 years, we'll get back on track. I'm afraid that's when you'll start having more, because right now the fans, I think the fans are still sticking in there, and which they should, I believe. Hey, look, we've turned over. We've got Breslow in here. Heim's out, you know, so like there's an initiative for it, but what is that initiative and how fast is it? You know what I mean?
And the follow-up there is, you know, there, you've seen a lot of guys come off the board this winter, a lot of high-priced free agents. The Red Sox in the last few years, I know they paid Raffy, I know they signed Story, but have largely sat that out, and they've largely spent less money and done, it had been less aggressive than when you were playing or the years before that, the years after. In your opinion, is there still that commitment to winning from ownership, especially financially, or do you think that's tailed off a little bit?
Okay, so I will compare it just like a player. After a player wins championship, a certain amount of championship, it's naturally to get complacent. Now, I don't know whether or not they've increased payroll since I played. I would think so. Sean, you know that way more than I do. But to me, the biggest thing is, do we believe that's enough payroll to win and compete with other payrolls? If so, I'm good with it. Okay, give me – it may not be the top, but if it's good enough to compete, I'll accept it. And if we're not, then we got to learn how and put people in place to spend the money better now. And is it – do you want to give it a world championship or do you want to rebuild a minor league system? If Cinco Ocho is a GM and I'm coming into this situation, I don't care what it takes in the minor leagues. I'm selling myself in the minor leagues and winning at the big league level, because it, to me, that's all that matters. And then I'll figure out the minor leagues later.
We've seen, Pap, it seems, a kind of retrenchment on the part of ownership. They're not as visible as they once were. John Henry has not really done any sort of media availability in a number of years. What was the interaction like when you were there as a player with ownership and being around the ballpark in the last year or so? What differences are you observing in terms of that relationship?
So, you know, obviously since I was there, I think the Fenway Sports Group has grown so much. And now what's happening is John's getting pulled so many different ways, right? I've seen that happen. And so just like anything, there's going to be less attention paid on the Red Sox as there was when there was only, what, the Red Sox and the NASCAR team maybe yet. Yeah. So now it's, you know, Liverpool, I believe, and soccer and stuff. And so – that group is so much more bigger, and so I understand it. You know, that's a good point. And you know, maybe this year while I'm on Nesson, me and I might need to get John back in front of the public eye. We can chop it up over some McAllen or something. I mean, you know, yeah, I could see that happening. And you know, I never really thought about that though. But, you know, you would think that makes a difference for me. Yeah, like showing that involvement and, you know, maybe if you look at the Red Sox as a whole and you start from the top, you say, hey, maybe that might be one of the ones where, hey, John gets a little bit more involved, Sam gets it, and it just moves on down the line. So, yeah, you know, that's a good point. And to me, you know, I'm not a consultant for them. I don't do any of that. I think if I was a consultant for them, they'd take some of my ideas, think they were crazy, but they might realize that they would work. But you know, right now it's such a gamble in today's age. And every move is so microscopic. And man, you look at the Dodgers that are spending $700 million, but they're backloading it almost 10 years. And it's like, what's going to happen then? And it's like, is this dynamic all change the game? And now do the ownerships have to change their game? Like, right? Like, so if I'm an owner, one owner is doing something different, I say scratch my head and say, oh, shit. Maybe do we got, you know? So that's got to be happening as well with the sports group, with Fenway Sports Group.
You said that you were not consulting them or acting as any sort of, you know, the way Pedro does and David is there a little bit in spring training. If you were in that kind of role, either in uniform with pitchers or just consulting in a general basis, what would you be advising them?
Well, obviously, Sean, my biggest thing, if I was a pitching consultant, would be getting the taking your analytics and using them. Because, Sean, believe it or not, like, let me get back to this, but I will say this, and I don't know if you know this story, but me and Chill would literally get on home plate and see how many times we could rotate a baseball before the catcher caught it. We try to get Billy to film it sometime, but that was spin rate back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was having good spin rate, but being in the zone. So to me, the biggest things were, okay, I take my analytics and my scouting report, and then I take that into the game. If it works, I use it. If it doesn't, I got to go to the next thing. And my biggest things were getting the first hitter out of every inning is a huge deal, and throwing strike one. Like, if you look at the analytics, when those two things happen, hitters really don't have a chance to score on you, to put a run across the board. So
sounds simple.
It does sound simple, but also, too, like, with that comes a lot of different types of preparation, and, you know, and I was always really big on the mental aspect of the game, you know, stuff like that. So, and I know that's bigger now, you know, which is crazy. Even when I was in college, my degree was in sports psychology, and at Mississippi State, we had, like, a class or two involving it, and people were like, what the hell is that? I'm like, you watch. Sports psychology is going to be big, and now look at it.
Yep.
So I believe that's important too.
If you were the GM, if you were the chief baseball officer, what would you have done this winter? I assume it's more than Giolito in and Sale out and Tyler O'Neill. And man, I mean, I think you would have, based on previous comments, still traded Verdugo, but
no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's a hard question, Chris, because, you know, I really don't know whether or not, like, what is my budget? What do I have to, like, what players are we deeming, you know, untouchable? Say hey, that's my daughter.
No, I want to stay with you.
No, you gotta go. No. So, you know, I need to know all that before I can answer that question or make that decision, right? So, but to me, if whether I'm building the minor league system or whether I'm trying to rebuild big league team, the only way to do it, in my opinion, is with power strike throwing pitching. Lefty or righty, I don't care. Power arms that throw strikes. That is the quickest way to make an evolution for your team. Move forward, in my opinion.
And, you know, with this, you've talked about clubhouse culture, and I know you said on foul territory you think that they need to make some strides in that way. Again, you've been on the record about, you know, Verdugo and the issues that you thought he brought to the table. Do you think that the culture, the group, has been an issue the last couple of years, and that's contributed to the last place finishes?
I don't think it's solely contributed to it. And yes, there has been. And obviously, AC handled that. I think there was one issue. I think, and that's it's pretty. Look, man, when I was working with Nesson last year, I would show up at, you know, an hour or so or two before. No, actually, it was like 2 hours before the game. And I'd hear him, you know, rev his little hot rod up, you know. And I'm like, dude, you're showing up at the same time I am. And all I got to do is do pregame, you know, crap. Like, so I already knew, like, I would go back to it. I'm like, hey, Jim, we're talking about Jim. I'm like, hey, Jim, I think this son of a bitch just showed up. He's like, oh, yeah, he's been doing that all year, man. And so, you know, it's the same way, man. If you're not pulling all on the same rope, it just doesn't work. It just, yeah. So that, I believe, is out of the clubhouse. And hey, man, like, Devers may thrive now. You never know. You really don't. Spring training will be that decision factor of who steps up on that, you know?
Pep, you have a good time when you're on Nesson. I think that's what they like about you. You talked about the possibility of maybe having a bigger role, maybe doing some games. As a fan and now as a broadcaster, what would you like to see different in game telecasts? What could bring fans in, make it more interesting, make it more attractive for people wanting to watch every night?
Okay, so I think baseball and Major League Baseball is doing a real good job of trying to keep up with the game, making it attractive. It's real hard with the, you know, and we have the microphones on the field now, and we're interviewing during the games and stuff like that. What I would like to see more now, especially with the new rules, okay? Now, I can't say that whether I'm not going to ask for this or not, but I would like to see more old, like, teleprompter, like, okay, this is the reason why he got to this lead, and be able to, like, show players, like, here was his first lead market, here was his second lead, because now that's all changed, okay? Just all the little different nuances, because I think that would bring in the fan more now, because honestly, man, that last couple of years has, I mean, been not confusing, but it's a change. So the fans need to know more, I feel like.
Pep, we want to thank you for your time. We know you have some traveling to do. We look forward to seeing both you and Cinco Ocho in Springfield this weekend. I think fans are going to enjoy it too. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you this weekend and then again down the road soon.
That's Jonathan Papelbon. I think a more colorful show than we usually have on the pod, but hey, that's what you get when you book him. Thank you all for listening to what has been an action-packed week here. Four pods, including two interviews, Craig Breslow and Jonathan Papelbon. As we've said, full coverage of Winter Weekend coming on the site, on social media, on the podcast next week, and our Insider Text program.
And to take part in that Insider Text program that Chris just referenced, text the word JOIN to 617-751-6257. Then merely click the link and subscribe. You get a 14-day trial period, after which we believe you'll be so thoroughly immersed in the Insider Text program that you will happily sacrifice $4.99 a month deducted from your checking account or wherever you stash your belongings.
This has been the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live.